I'm Abe Beeson, and we are very pleased to welcome a solo concert this afternoon. It's Bill Sharlop. Solo piano from Bill Sharlop live in the studios here at KPLU. Bill, a couple words about that song?
That was All the Things You Are by Jerome Kern. And Kern was kind of the angel at the top of the tree for American popular writers. He was Gershwin and Irving Berlin's inspiration. And that's one of the great songs ever written.
Bill, you're not much older than me. We're both in our 40s. I got to wonder about growing up and knowing all these great songwriters. For my girlfriend, it was a huge turn-on that I could pick out Like Someone in Love or All the Things You Are. But it's also a little bit strange, don't you think, growing up with rock and roll and funk and disco?
Sounds mostly like you dated the right girl. In my case, I was lucky. I grew up around those great songs. My father was a songwriter. He wrote most of the music to the Mary Martin production of Peter Pan, and his name was Moose Sharlop, and he was always composing at the piano, writing songs professionally. And my mom is a great singer. Her name is Sandy Stewart, and she was Grammy nominated in the 60s for Candor and Ebb's first hit song, My Coloring Book. And she sang with Benny Goodman, and she is still singing as great as ever. In fact, we just made a new album together, and she sounds like she's 16 years old.
I'm very excited to hear that one. That'll be coming out soon. What is it about the standards writers, the greats like Gershwin and Porter, that songwriters today aren't doing? What makes that so appealing to you?
Well, I'm not sure if I'm ever thinking about it in the context of that other writers aren't doing it. You know, there's other things being written that are great.
Yeah.
So it's not really, you know, go write a nice Gershwin tune, because there's other things to be written too. But of course, it was a great time in American culture that will always be a renaissance time in terms of the film industry and popular music, jazz pollinating with popular music, and all the great arrangers. and the songwriters and theater songwriters primarily were the best, but there were also some one-hit wonders.
Now, you've made a great point. A lot of this, the music of Gershwin and Cole Porter and Jerome Kern was written for the theater, for the stage.
Yeah.
Do you think there's something about that, the fact that the music was intended to be part of a story that makes it so appealing?
Well, that was a part of the discipline, part of the skill set. If you read, for instance, there's a wonderful essay on lyric writing by Oscar Hammerstein. It's called Lyrics, or just something like that. It's about 50 pages, and he talks about writing lyrics, both in terms of how they would propel a show and how they would stand on their own and just everything. So,
now, you're a big fan of the great composers. How important for you is composing yourself?
I'm not a composer. My wife is a composer. Mm-hmm. She's the great jazz pianist, Reenie Rosnes, and she composes all the time and can compose not at the piano and write an orchestral score. She can do that. I just don't. But that's the answer to your question. But, you know, I wanted to follow up on something else you were saying. I think something that has changed for popular writers, very obviously, is that it's about the composer-performer of a song. You know, if you think of, well, any of the great you know, Stevie Wonder or the Beatles or Carole King or any of the great writers, their performances are the definitive performances of those songs, where at the time that Gershwin and Porter were writing, there was the composer, there was the pop act, there was the stock arrangement, there was the Coleman Hawkins record, there was the show, all of those things. It's a different culture. That's all, I think.
What have you got for us next, Bill?
Well, I haven't thought about it yet, so let's see. I'll play a beautiful Jimmy Van Heusen song. This is Like Someone in Love.
We're going to get every last vibration out of that piano on that last note. That was fantastic. Bill Sharlup, solo and live in the studios here at KPLU. Bill, you've had the chance to work with some fantastic musicians and songwriters, just to name a few: Phil Woods, Dick Hyman, Tony Bennett, your mom and dad, of course. Is there one particular person that made the biggest influence on you?
Well, probably my mother and father,
yeah.
Certainly. And, you know, also influences as you get older. I think your peers influence you.
Right.
You know, I'm influenced by Kenny Washington and Peter Washington over the years, and my wife. So, you know, I think all of the musicians you play with, though, you find something about them that, you know, is a lesson.
You got to be a good listener.
Yes, it helps.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite pianist, or did you have a favorite pianist growing up that you had to really work at not imitating? Was there anybody that you're like, oh, I sound too much like Oscar Peterson?
Well, I think we all go through periods where we hear our influences so strongly that we don't like what we're doing because of it. I actually remember listening to a recording, maybe the very first one I made with Jerry Mulligan. It was a piece that didn't make the record. And we were listening to it in his living room, and exactly what you just said, a piece of the solo went by, and I went, ah. And he said, what's wrong? But there was nothing wrong with that. It was fine. He said, you just don't like that you're hearing your influences. In that case, it was Oscar Peterson. And that was an interesting lesson, you know, because the idea is really not to imitate, it's to emulate. But right. That doesn't mean you don't need a full box of tools.
Uh-huh, right. You live in New York, right? Born and raised in Manhattan?
Born and raised in Manhattan, that's right.
I think to this day, people consider New York the jazz center of the world. And I'm not sure, you know, what the current jazz scene is like there, but the city really seems to influence the people who play there. Do you still find an inspiration living in New York City?
Well, I don't live in New York City. I actually live in New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
But there's nothing like New York City. And culturally, growing up there, it wasn't just jazz. All the incredible culture and experiences. And maybe one of the best things about New York, I've always thought, is if you took a camera, any camera, like a throwaway camera, and go to any busy, congested street on a nice summer day, you know, when you can see, and just take any picture, random picture, mm-hmm. you're going to see old people, young people, black people, white people, poor people, rich people, everybody together. And that's kind of what I think is the great thing about New York.
Bill, we've got time for one more.
Okay. Well, let's think about something.